Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Did you know you could find over 300 advisor interviews at exitcoachradio.com on our audio archives? We have 33 folders of topics, and you can find dozens of interviews in each of those topics and listen to a whole slew of professional advisors, experts in each of those topics. So go there, exitcoachradio.com, and check it out. We want to help you become well-planned. My next guest is John Dade from Essex Futures. He's a senior managed account specialist. And here in Irvine, California, John talks with business owners a lot. And, one of the things you have to think about is if you sell your business, what are you going to do with the money? How are you going to manage that money? And we're going to talk about managed futures and why now in particular for managed futures. Essex Futures offers alternative investment strategies for independent investors through the use of professionally managed futures with some of the top CTAs in the nation. We'll get to the bottom of what that means. But, John, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Bill. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, John. One of the first things we like to do is ask our guests a little bit about themselves and their background, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
I appreciate that. I've been with Essex Futures going on about 4 years now. My investment background, approximately 15 to 18 years in the investment arena. I've traded forex currencies, precious metals, and currently we work with professional managers.
Okay, and what is the CTA? We talked about that a little bit in the introduction, but you work with some of the top CTAs in the nation.
That's correct. The CTA stands for Commodity Trading Advisor, and these are registered, regulated professionals that have longstanding track records and audited returns. Basically, okay. Each one has their own area of expertise, and they trade in the commodities markets.
So it's kind of a vetting organization to make sure that everything's on the up and up with some of these things, right?
Well, correct. The CTA, Commodity Trading Advisor, he's an independent business person, you might say, but they are under the auspices of the NFA, National Futures Association, and the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commissions, which are our regulatory agencies.
Okay, makes a lot of sense. So a lot of our listeners are in a position where they're saying, I'm looking for something as an alternative to the stock market. I know the stock market's done well the last couple of years, but it's the fundamentals aren't great, and a lot of people are nervous about where it is. And of course, moving forward, things can change in the blink of an eye. They're worried about bonds because interest rates are so very low, and as they rise, it's going to hurt the equity or the value of some of those bond funds. And they're looking for income in a difficult marketplace to find it. So tell us about why should an investor look into something like a managed future?
Well, managed futures should be a part of every investment portfolio, Bill. And this goes back to the 1950s. A lot of people smarter than myself, Harvard professors, professors at the University of Chicago, Harry Markowitz, back in the 1950s, came up with what's called professionally managed futures, modern portfolio theory. Which states that when you add a non-correlated asset class to a balanced portfolio, not only do you get higher rates of return, but you also reduce your overall volatility and risk in the portfolio.
Let's stop with that and give our listeners a little education on, first of all, tell us what is the definition of a future and then a managed future. Let's start with that.
I appreciate that. Well, When people hear futures, there's a lot of risk involved, and they should be wary. Even though it's called managed futures, the CTAs that we work with in the industry, many of them use options positions. And it, basically, and very simplified, a futures position is a commitment to do something, whether you guess right or wrong, and it can be very expensive. On the other side, an options position is what it is. It gives you the option, if you're right or wrong, to commit. So, in essence, simply it's less downside risk.
You know, listeners, this is me talking. This is Bill Black talking. But I would liken it to something like a lottery ticket, where if you buy that ticket on and it becomes true, if you win, you win. If you lose, you've just thrown away the price of a ticket, a very small fraction of the actual investment, instead of investing 100-cent dollars in there. So that's me talking. But, John, when you talk about non-correlated assets, now I think a lot of our listeners are probably used to the old 60% bonds or stocks and the pie chart that shows stocks and bonds. And now a lot of alternative investments like this have come into play over the last few years.
Sure.
To balance out those portfolios, like you said.
Sure.
So when you said these are non-correlated assets, what do we mean by that?
Okay. Basically, we're looking at an asset class that is not correlated to traditional assets, like you mentioned, stocks, bonds, real estate, ETFs, and some of them that have been termed alternatives, simply because an ETF, you're investing in real estate, but you're not buying real estate. So they call it an alternative. In reality, we saw in 2008 that even a balanced portfolio, international stocks, blue chip stocks, bonds, real estate, they all took a hit in 2008 because they're correlated to each other.
And how did managed futures do in that type of an environment?
Well, it's good to know that managed futures, because it's not correlated to the market, we're not necessarily directional. We were the only asset class, as a matter of fact, that actually made money in 2008, depending on the chart and the index you look at, between 15 and 18%. While real estate was down, even the commodities themselves, gold, wheat, these type of things were down, international markets. So we performed well.
So this is another sliver in the allocation pie chart that can serve to balance out things when things aren't going so well in other marketplaces. And of course, we're in an environment now where interest rates on treasuries are 0%. I mean, they've got to go up at some point. They can't mm-hmm. go any lower. And when they do go up, they could either go up slowly or quickly, depending on how the government feels the economy can absorb that. And when that happens, some assets are going to be very unattractive, like bonds and things like that, because again, if you buy a bond at a low interest rate and interest rates go up, that bond becomes unattractive to investors.
That is correct.
And so that's what we're talking about, is finding some things that might be part of your portfolio, a laddered bond strategy, something like that has different durations. But looking outside of that at other things like managed futures could be a way to balance out some of those risks.
Absolutely. Again, this goes back to the 1950s. It's been studied to death by numerous studies. And the sweet spot is about 20%, depending on age factors and other things, that 20% alternative assets, managed futures in a portfolio can, again, help you pursue higher rates of return while reducing that overall volatility and risk. So we're not looking to change the entire portfolio structure. If what you're doing is working, that's great. But we can also show you ways to help enhance that.
Would someone repositioning their portfolio look to take that out of a particular position, like as a replacement for equities or debt like bonds, or just kind of overall just fit it in there as a pro rata reduction?
Great question. What we do is we look at the overall portfolio structure. And of course, we'll look at the underperforming assets and make that recommendation. But the studies have shown throughout the last 30 or 40 years that even when the markets did well, we did okay. And when they didn't do well, we did even better. Mm-hmm. So the allocation would be between us and the investor and what they feel comfortable with.
So for someone who's looking for that hedging strategy, if you will, of something that will not correlate to other assets and go into a situation where if the markets don't do so well, this might do well. And even if they do well, it'll do okay. What are some kind of minimum investments or things like that they would be looking at to get into something like managed futures?
Great question, Bill. We look at minimums on a case-by-case basis because we not only believe in diversification outside the traditional assets, but also diversification within our portfolio. What we do at Essex Futures is we look at some of the top professional managers in the nation. And of those, we work with approximately the top 10 to 12. Their minimums can start as low as 10,000. And what we like to do is take that allocation of the portfolio and maybe divide it among two or three different asset managers. So the sweet spot would depend on the asset class they're looking at. But we like to work with somewhere, let's say, between $30,000 and $50,000 to get your foot in the door and let us show you what we can do.
Somewhere in $30,000 to $50,000. And is this a long-term buy and hold strategy? I mean, would somebody expect to be holding this portfolio for a long duration?
Well, all investment strategies should be looked at in that view.
Absolutely,
You know, getting in for 3 months or 2 months or what, that's called speculation.
Right.
If you're looking at an investment, yes, we recommend at least a 1-year to 3-year window. Mm-hmm. To give the managers a chance to do what they do
right
in the investment portfolio. Now, that being said, there are some tax advantages to adding professionally managed futures to the program as well. Under the tax law of 1981, you can have your returns, unlike day trading in the stock market, that will actually give you a better tax advantage with managed futures, basically 60-40. So, in simple terms, if you made $50,000 with us in managed futures and $50,000 trading the stock, depending on your tax bracket, you can put up to 30% more in your pocket legally with managed futures.
Well, that's good to know. Everybody likes to do that.
Absolutely.
Now, what are some of the situations where someone might come to you and you say, no, you're not a good fit? This is not a good fit.
Okay. Again, we take each one on an individual basis. First off, 20% of the portfolio is what we look at. If that represents a large part of their net worth, and let's say they're, you know, a couple years from retirement, they're age 65 or 70, it may not be suitable. It's not suitable for everybody, just like other investments.
Sure.
So we screen each one on an individual basis, but we want it to be no more than 20% of your portfolio. And it is risk capital. There's risk involved in every investment, no matter who manages your money. And, you know, past returns are no guarantee of future returns. We know that.
Of course. Now, so, you know, we always discuss and talk about, you know, building the pyramid. If you drew a pyramid out on a piece of paper, the pointy end at the top, then this belongs towards the top end of things. It doesn't belong somewhere in the top to the middle. It's not the most speculative thing you'll probably buy out there. That would be very risky types of ventures, but it's not the bottom part either. That you need to have a good base.
That's true. You need to have a good foundation. And again, that's why we look at modern portfolio theory and look at a small part of the portfolio for this asset allocation. It's not as risky as if you're, you know, trading futures on your own, you know, online, because you are working with a professional, but there is risk involved and it should be risk capital.
Is there more than one portfolio available to invest in at Essex?
Absolutely. We work, again, like I said, with probably the top 12 to 15 asset managers in the nation that we screen. And we put together portfolios to meet the investor's need. We don't have a cookie-cutter portfolio that we fit the investor in. So each one is an individual case that we look at, work with the investor, their needs and wants, and structure the portfolio of 2, 3, 4 managers to meet those needs.
Excellent. So if someone is interested in this type of a strategy, and, you know, you very well should at least know about it, what's the best way for them to find out more about this?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because part of what we look at very strongly is education, because we know most investors don't know about this. So we offer a free educational package from Essex Futures that will go into all the details and nuances, and then we follow up face-to-face or online with a GoToMeeting webinar and explain all the details. And we want you to have your questions answered and feel comfortable. You can contact me, you know, John Dade at Essex Futures, 877-331-2533, or email me at johnd@essexfutures.com.
You know, a lot of people are saying that the Rip Van Winkle years are over, have long been over, where you put your money into the S&P 500 or a stock portfolio and wake up and double it every 2 or 3 years. That's dead. That's gone. Now we're in kind of the ugly duckling phase, where you really have to go out and search and scratch and find different alternatives and piece together your portfolio in such a way that you've got a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of diversification. So this is one of those areas, one of those diversification strategies you can put in play, and don't dismiss it just because you don't know anything about it. Learn about it, because this is a new world that we're looking at moving into the future. The stock market, of course, has done well in the last couple of years, but there's a lot of concern that there's not much fundamentally behind where we are. If there were a lot of good fundamentals in the economy, we'd be seeing interest rates going up. They wouldn't still be at zero. We wouldn't still be trying to stimulate the economy. And that's a big concern right now, is moving forward. How are our listeners out there who are selling businesses, becoming liquid, looking to build their portfolios out, how are they going to properly diversify and explore these new strategies? So this is one of those strategies. And John, I'm really glad you came on to tell us about this. So our listeners can call you at 877-331-2533. That's 877-331-2533. Or they can come to your website.
Right. They can go to the website or, again, email me at johnd, at sexfutures.com.
Okay, so that's great. So they can come online, talk to you, get some a promotional package, and then go back online and walk through that package with
you or
face-to-face if they want. Well, John, that sounds great. I really appreciate you coming on and telling us about this, because it's not something we talk about very often. And I think it's one of those things that we're trying to bring new ideas, tips, and precautions for our listeners. What should our listeners look out for in other, when is it too good to be true out there? What are some of the examples of what's out there?
Well, again, you hit it on the head. The economy, if everything was okay, we wouldn't be seeing the rates where they are, and we'd be seeing better unemployment and consumer spending. But the advantages of managed futures is the transparency and liquidity. There is no lockup period like some investments where your money is locked up for 1 to 3 years, and you're at the mercy of what other people tell you is going on. So it should always be, you know, buyer beware, do your homework, do your due diligence, and we're more than happy to open up and share with you.
Well, and we know a lot of investments, almost every investment I see has ups and downs to it, but investors need to be aware of that and then take a step forward. But be very careful about those things that really seem way too good to be true. High interest rate CDs when there's no yield out there. High interest rate types of investments. Things that are way over promising out there. Be very careful, especially in this precarious economy that we're still in. And get in touch with John Dade and find out more about this. And John, thanks very much for joining us. It's been great to have you on the show.
Well, Bill, it's been a pleasure, and thank you for thinking ahead and offering this to your listeners.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.